everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is a Thursday. It's the 6th of December, 2012. We're streaming BuckmasterShow.com and KVOI.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere, as we post the program every day, usually by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, to BuckmasterShow.com. We also post to the TucsonSentinel.com and TucsonCitizen.com, and we now have a show link on the home pages of the Green Valley News and the Sahorita Sun. That's GVNews.com. And the homepage of Blog for Arizona, blogforarizona.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 on the home of the Buckmaster Show, KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice, AM 1030. Another jam-packed hour for you. We'll get things rolling, talking about the big push to get area consumers to please shop locally, if at all possible, this holiday season. 20 minutes past the hour, an update on the town of Tombstone's effort to get the federal government to allow the town too tough to die to fix its damaged water lines. 30 minutes past the hour, the launch of a new website to help medical consumers and consumers generally learn about the safe use of medicine. Then we'll close out the show with the latest legal news in Arizona from the Buckmaster Show contributor on the law, attorney Don Luce. And our Buckmaster Show live line is open for you at 790-2040, or you can post a question or comment to the Bill Buckmaster Facebook page. Local merchants are hoping that you will shop locally this holiday season. If you do, it will have a huge impact on Tucson's economy. A study from the Civic Economics Organization finds that in a city the size of Tucson, 1,600 new jobs and $53 million in new wages would be created in 1 year if consumers shifted just 10% of their shopping to locally owned businesses. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Kurt Tallis. Kurt is with the 4th Avenue Merchants Association. He's very busy today as preparations are underway for the 42nd annual 4th Avenue Winter Street Fair, which kicks off tomorrow. Kurt, how are you?
Hey, Bill, how you doing? It's a beautiful day out today for a setup of a street fair.
It is going to be a lovely day for the street fair. Kurt, tell me a little bit about this push to get folks to buy locally.
Well, like you said, if we could just shift 10% of your buying habits to local, we create so many more jobs. You know, 4th Avenue is all about local. It's got 100 locally owned businesses. 70% of our businesses are owned by women. We are the incubator of bigger businesses. And this weekend, the 4th Avenue is open. So all the fencing's down, over, and we are holding a party to let everybody know 4th Avenue is open. So come on down to Street Fair, and let's have a great time this weekend.
Give me a little history of the street fair. Started 42 years ago. Was it just a couple of merchants who got together and said, hey, let's put some of our wares out on the street? Or how did it all evolve, Kurt Tallis?
Well, what happened is in the early or the mid-60s, 4th Avenue was barren. It was pretty empty. It was run down. And then the hippies, the artists, moved in. When the artists moved in, they started painting their buildings, built colorful colors, started doing sidewalk sales to generate some sales, and it started to catch on. So they formed a street fair. The merchants got together, formed a merchants association, which is what I work for, and they formed this very first street fair, which was really just a bunch of tables on the street with, I think it was only about 15 or 20 merchants. And now we've grown into a top 100 show in the country. Of the 10,000 events that are measured in the event industry, the 4th Avenue street fairs are in the top 100. So it's something for us to tout about as a community.
What are some of the things we should remember? I understand that if you're thinking of walking the dog and enjoying the street fair, perhaps leave your companion animal at home this year.
Please do. We do have an ordinance banning animals at the street fair, and there's a really, really good reason for that. Is that, you know, people don't see what me and my staff see. We see a bigger picture. You know, they don't see the grandmother whose dog died in their arms because it got kicked. or the little girl who almost had her fingers bit off because it got bit by a dog. So we worked real hard with the city council to get an ordinance to ban animals at the street fair because we're an urban environment. There's 300,000 people, and there's no dirt, and there's no grass. So we employ people to please leave your pets at home, come on down, and enjoy the art.
Kurt, what's the best way to get to the street fair this year?
Oh, geez, now you can get here anyway. But the best way to approach us is to park at the Pennington Street Garage. That's downtown. And I've got a shuttle running from Pennington Garage right to the street fair. Then also, I have a shuttle running from the University of Arizona. And did you know that on the weekend, all of their parking garages are free?
Didn't know that.
Yeah, so you can park at the university this weekend. That's Saturday and Sunday. Friday, of course, they're open for business. But Saturday and Sunday, you can park anywhere, any garage for free. We have a shuttle that picks you up right in the middle of Main Gate and takes you right to street fair.
And the streetcar construction just about done. Crews took down the fences and finished paving on Tuesday. It's looking pretty good, isn't it?
It's absolutely beautiful. I've never seen our road look so nice. Now, they got little things to do, you know, some light poles and things, but it is a miraculous work that they did to get us to this point where we could have the street fair. And I really want to thank them for doing that.
They worked hard. Kurt Tallis is with us from the 4th Avenue Merchants Association. I think, Kurt, the street fair is almost a barometer of how the economy is doing. What do you expect this year? What are you hearing from the merchants?
What I'm hearing from the artists and the merchants is that, you know, people are spending a little bit less per ticket, but they're shopping a little bit more. So we'll find out this weekend. You know, I have ATM machines all over our event, and I get reports from those ATM machines. And so that'll give me a good barometer as to how well we're doing. Artists are telling me that they're doing really good at other shows. So people are coming out, you know, they want to have a good time, walk around, enjoy a beer, people watch, and definitely do a little Christmas shopping. So we'll see what the economy brings, but I'm, of course, positive about it.
You know, getting back to shopping locally, say you're doing 10 shopping trips. If you made just two of those locally, it would have this tremendous impact, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. You know, and small businesses are the true backbone of our country. You know, they employ, my businesses on 4th Ave employ anywhere from one on up to maybe 50 people if it's a bigger business on 4th Ave. So they're really small businesses. They normally are employing between anywhere from 3 to 5 people. Well, there's 3 to 5 people that have a job. And it's and from there, they can grow their business and hopefully add more employees as they go. So it's really important to buy local and to think about the local economy and, you know, do we really want strip malls full of corporates? And I think not. I think we're really looking for the gem in all of our shopping experience. And I'm thinking 4th Avenue is a gem that we have in Tucson. We want people to come down and have a great time.
Did most of the, I know there was a lot of grumbling during the construction, many of the merchants really hurting. They pretty much have weathered this, most of your merchants?
Yeah, we haven't lost a single business to the streetcar construction, thank goodness. We knew this was coming 2 years out. Merchants prepared. We worked with a group called Main Street, which helps businesses go through construction projects. We fared fairly well. We did a lot of different outreaches in terms of sales and programs to get people to come down. But in the end, you know, construction is construction, and these merchants are suffering. And they're looking for a bounce back because they've got to save enough money through the rest of the season to get through the summer. And we all know what summer is like in Tucson. It's kind of quiet. So they're really banking on this season to make it, to make their nuts, so to speak, so that they can get through the summer months. So they're hurting. Construction is not... You know, when you look at this project, you look at the scope of it. You know, they closed down 3 major economic areas in Tucson, downtown, 4th Avenue, Main Gate. That's a huge project to do. To not lose any businesses, we're real proud of that, but we definitely need to rebound. We need to get the business back that we had. So we need to let everybody know that 4th Ave's open, and let's breathe some great air and enjoy some sunshine.
And we'll put in a little plug for the show here on the Buckmaster Show tomorrow. Our Friday Focus interview will be about the modern streetcar. We'll be talking with Jim DeGroot of the RTA on the program. Give us the rundown, Kurt Tallis, now about the hours for the 3-day event for the Winter Street Fair.
You bet. We are open this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
And most of the walking, it's very easy for folks that really have trouble perhaps getting around. It's a very easy to negotiate all of that.
It is. It is really easy. And you can fight off as much as you want. You know, we're six blocks long. And if you just do two blocks, you're still doing just fine. You're going to see a lot of great art. You know, the art, we have 400 artists in our show. At any given time, a full third of our attending artists are local artists. 24% of our attending artists are brand new, never before shown in Tucson. So you're going to see, you know, the mix of local, but you're also going to get some nationwide artists that are in here, and it's artwork that we normally wouldn't be able to see in Tucson without a show like this.
Okay.
So there's a lot of great things to look at.
Kurt Tallis of the 4th Avenue Merchants Association, thanks for being with us, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you, Bill. Happy holidays. See you at Street Fair.
Same to you. 12:15 now on the Buckmaster Show. The latest on Tombstone's battle with the federal government over repairing the Tombstone water supply. That's next on the Thursday edition of Buckmaster.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. In 2011, the town of Tombstone's water lines were destroyed in a wildfire, and since then, the federal government has prevented the town from properly repairing its water lines in the neighboring wilderness area, which has been Tombstone's source of water since the late 1800s. The Phoenix-based Goldwater Institute is championing Tombstone's case, which went before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco on Tuesday. Joining us now for an update on the case is Goldwater Institute's lead attorney, Nick Dranius. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
How did it go on Tuesday?
I think it went very well. For the first time in my career, I felt like the court wanted information and were not just trying to score points or make me look like an idiot. I mean, it was a really good panel. Even, you know, there were certain members of the panel, I don't want to name names, that were reputed to be conservative and liberal. And yet, uniformly, they were all just intrigued by the case, interested in the plight that Tombstone faces. And I honestly believe there's a good chance we're going to win on some major issue.
The U.S. Forest Service says that repairing the water lines in Tombstone could potentially disrupt the emerging habitat of the Mexican spotted owl. So is that what's at the root of the case for the United States government?
Actually, I don't think so at all, because one of the things they've been careful to do repeatedly is to say that we would have a no incidental take, which is code or lingo for no killing or hurting of the spotted owls from our work. In fact, you know, we've done some discoveries. We've had written questions answered by the Forest Service, and we've had documents produced by them where their own biologists on at least two occasions advised them that the work that we intended to do would not have any impact or any adverse effect on the spotted owl. So I don't think that's the basis of what they're doing. I think the basis of what they're doing is becoming increasingly clear in the documents that we are getting, is that they want the water. They've been trying to get the water in the Miller Canyon for a conservation area to make this gurgling spring-like river for aesthetic purposes, because it looks, I guess, nice. They've been trying to get that water since 1989, and they've been most recently submitting a whole new application just a few months ago with ADWR. And my concern is this is basically going to boil down to an old-fashioned, old-western fight over water.
1,500 residents of Tombstone. What are they facing here as far as loss of water and I guess their homes?
Well, you know, right now it looks like we've got enough flow from the Huachuca Mountain water supply and their well water to handle domestic needs. The problem is that we have arsenic well water. And the standards for arsenic poisoning are even get tighter in the next few months. And that might take offline what little well water we have left. And when that happens, then we're going to have a real shortage. And right now is sort of the low season in terms of using water. But if we get into April, May, when we have the most tourists down in Tombstone, you know, that's when we really need our mountain water supply and when we could really run into trouble. So, you know, the principle here is what's really at stake. Water is a critical need for any desert town, and it's particularly a critical need for the city of Tombstone when its alternative well water supply has become increasingly arsenic poisoned over the years. And any reasonable government, even if people aren't dying in the streets for lack of water right now, any reasonable government would be looking to expand their water supply, and no reasonable government having the rights, the very clear rights that the city of Tombstone has in the Huachuca Mountains, would ignore that, not develop it, and not exercise their rights.
Nick Dronius is with us. He's the Goldwater Institute's lead attorney. Where does this go from here? When do you expect to hear something from the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco?
Well, you know, we hope that they're going to rule in the next month or two. The sense that we got from the questioning is that they're really following the case. They understand the issues, and they're struggling with what is a question of first impression for the court. What do you do when the Forest Service has no clear command from Congress to interfere with the reestablishment of a water supply, and all of the overlying federal laws, the National Forest Laws, the Wilderness Act, all are supposed to yield to the development of water in the arid West? What are you supposed to do when they refuse to heed that? Are you supposed to allow the state to just go forward under a state of emergency and restore it as they see fit? Well, I think the answer to that is yes, that's exactly what local and state governments are supposed to do. But it's an uncomfortable question for the court, I think, because it's a question of first impression.
There's more to this than just one town, a town too tough to die. I mean, this case, Tombstone versus the United States, has really captured really the nation's attention, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've been covered in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. We've been on various media shows. You know, what's interesting, too, is that the right-wing media, so-called, and the left-wing media so far seem pretty uniform in their outrage to this conduct by the Forest Service. And I think, you know, this case resonates with people because, keep in mind, all that the city of Tombstone is trying to do is restore a municipal water supply after it was destroyed in a disaster, a natural disaster, and it's doing so under a state of emergency declared by the governor. So the principle established here is, let state and local government take what actions they need to restore public health and safety during a state of emergency. It's hard to see people really opposing that. And I think also if you scroll back to the BP oil spill, you may recall that Governor Jindal wanted to put up various berms to prevent the oil from soiling the beaches, and that he was stopped by the Army Corps of Engineers. And as a result, the beaches there were soiled when they didn't have to be soiled. This has got wider legs from a natural disaster response or a human disaster response perspective as well. And then beyond that, I mean, in all of the western states that depend on a very scarce water supply, you know, the idea that the federal government is going to start unsettling expectations and understandings and rights that have been around for 100 plus years is very, very scary. More than any place else in the country, the West depends on reliable water rights and reliable water supplies for economic growth. And if the federal government's going to be making some sort of strong move into seizing priority control over our water supplies, if that's what this is, the tip of the iceberg of something like that kind of policy change, then that could spell the end of any significant economic growth in the western states.
Yeah, because this Tombstone water supply has really been the town's water supply since the late 1800s. So, I mean, this is not just a new source of water for them. There is a lot of precedent there, isn't there, Nick?
It is probably the most well-documented water supply going back 130 years in the southeastern Arizona. And if the Forest Service can knock off or disregard our rights, there are no safe rights in Arizona. And that changes the dynamics of our economy, because people who depend on water in our state, which is everyone, and developments in particular, real estate developments, are going to realize that the future is much, much more shaky. And it's going to make it more difficult to invest, you know, money and create jobs and growth. So, you know, the problem here is this is a very significant move by the federal government. They may have thought, before we got involved in the case, that they could knock off this small town of 1,500 people, take their water, and then sit on top of the San Pedro River shed. And we're making sure that doesn't happen as best we can.
Nick Dranius, Goldwater Institute's lead attorney, thanks for the update. Keep us posted, will you, on what happens?
We will.
Thank you, Nick. With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Secretary of State Clinton has met with Russia's foreign minister and the UN peace envoy to Syria. The meeting is raising hopes that Washington and Moscow might be able to agree on a strategy for ending the Syrian civil war. Defense Secretary Panetta says the U.S. has serious concerns that Syria is thinking of using its chemical weapons. Egypt's army has sealed off the presidential palace in Cairo with barbed wire and armored vehicles, but despite an order to protesters that they leave the area, several dozen opponents of President Mohamed Morsi continue to demonstrate across the street from the palace. On Wall Street, stocks in positive territory. The Dow's up about 20 points at 13,053. The Nasdaq ahead 15, the S&P 3 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cunada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:35. This portion of the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. Check out more about Splendido at SplendidoTucson.com. Well, Arizona's effort to grow the bioscience industry began 10 years ago when the Phoenix-based Flynn Foundation commissioned a bioscience roadmap. Along the way, Tucson became home to a unique research institution, the Critical Path Institute, known as CPATH, which works with U.S. Food and Drug Administration to bring safer drugs, diagnostics, and medical devices to the market more quickly. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is the founder of CPATH, and now Dr. Ray Woosley has turned over the reins of CPATH to new leadership so he can focus on AZCert, which is a web-based program fostering the safe use of medicine. Always good to see you, Dr. Woosley.
Bill, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell me a little bit about AZCert.
Well, the Arizona CERT, or AZCert, is something that I've been working on for about 15 years, actually. And it's, as you said, I'm really excited about focusing on it. CPATH was, and is a great part of this community. And it was focused or dedicated to speeding up the access of medicines so that we could get the medicines we need more quickly. Well, that's good. But one of the things that's bothered me for a long time and a lot of people is that these medicines can cause harm. And if you don't use them intelligently, if you don't use them appropriately, they can kill you. And about 15 years ago, there was a report came out showing that 100,000 people die every year from their medicines when used as directed. And
Boy, those are needless, senseless deaths,
exactly.
Dr. Rosley.
They're preventable.
Wow, 100,000 people?
Fourth leading cause of death in this country.
So you've put together a website. Is it crediblemeds.org? Is that where the consumer should go?
That's it. Crediblemeds.org, all one word, credible meds. And the goal there is to help people manage their medicine, both professionals and consumers. So we get 50,000 visits every month from people. We'd like for that to quadruple. But that's the website that I'm focusing on right now.
Is it easy to use for the consumer? They put in the name of the medicine and the info pops up?
It's getting easier.
Okay. you are a work in progress, right?
Exactly.
Like most of us these days.
The consumer section is quite easy. We've got tools there. We got former Surgeon General Rich Carmona helping advise people, saying that you are the most important person in your healthcare team. And so those tools are very easy to use. The actual information about the medicines is often complex. We use the word credible because there are a lot of sources that aren't reliable or credible. And so we don't have any funding from the industry that might be pushing their agenda. And we believe that information could be made more user-friendly. So we're working on that, and we seek advice on how to do that.
I mean, the word is, let's get the word out to the consumer so they know that this is there and this resource is there. It could save a life right there, or lives.
Exactly. And we focus a lot on drug interactions, what drugs should not be taken together. And we're focusing on drugs that could kill you. There are over 90 medicines on the market today that could cause sudden death.
Wow.
So we focus on those.
Approval for new drugs continues to slow. This is a trend that's been going on. Fewer new prescription drugs getting approved in this country.
Right. And it's CPAP's making a difference. The numbers are actually starting to creep up. The process is getting much more reliable. Fewer drugs are failing now because of the tools that CPAP and industry and FDA have agreed upon as more reliable ways. But when the drugs get on the market, the FDA doesn't have much control. They're restricted to being able to put a drug on the market or take it off. How it's used is what Credible Meds is focusing on.
And that's where Credible Meds can be such a great resource, where people can find out if the particular medicine they're on, or my goodness, I have seen studies that show, Dr. Woosley, that people, when they're over, especially over 60, over 65, they're not just taking one medicine, they're taking multiple medicines.
The average
and how person, those are interacting is kind of scary.
Oh, it's deadly. And there's data that over 65, you're taking, a person over 65 takes more than 25 prescription drugs a year, seven or eight every day.
Wow. So where do you go from here with AZ Cert? You're kind of in an education phase for the public.
Exactly, and we're building. We want our website. Right now it focuses on medicines that can cause sudden death. We're working with a foundation called the Sudden Arrhythmic Death Syndrome, SADS Foundation, to reach out to people who are at high risk. We want to have a website or part of our website focus on kidney injury. If you've had a kidney transplant, wouldn't you like to know which medicines could hurt your kidney? If you've had hepatitis, wouldn't you like to know which medicines might hurt your liver? So those are the kind of things we're working on, and we want it to be credible. We want it to be in front of people when they make healthcare decisions. Right now, if you go look up a drug, you get a list of 1,000 side effects.
Yeah.
Our website tells you what medicines could cause a side effect.
Yeah, it is really confusing, and I know I'm not alone in looking up a drug, Googling it, and you're getting so much information. It's information overload, and you really don't know if that applies to you or what you're taking.
Exactly, and a lot of the sources out there don't know enough about you, and that's one of the messages to the consumer. You need to have a list of every medicine you're taking and have been recently taking when you go to the pharmacist or to your doctor, because their medical records, we found a third of the medicines that you're taking aren't in there. 40% of the medicines you're taking, the doctor never knows about, and they can't prevent drug interactions if they don't have that information.
It's really scary about the heart rhythm. So many of these, you were saying, these prescription drugs really throw your heart rhythm off.
Exactly, and there's 32 drugs that we list that we know can cause sudden death. There's another 24 that we're following because we think they could. So we're doing data analysis every day. And every month, or every 2 weeks now, we're changing that list. So you need to go to it. Don't print it and carry it in your pocket. Go to it, and because it's changing every day.
And again, that website is crediblemeds.org. A lot of good information about that, and we hope to be giving you on the Buckmaster Show more and more information. We'll try to give you that website so you can write it down, check it out, but it's very important. How is the bioscience doing in Arizona? We're at our 10-year anniversary here for kind of the bioscience roadmap.
Well, I think we've made tremendous progress, but we're not in the A team yet, and that's an important one. Michael Crow gave a talk this week, and he
had ASU, yeah.
The president of ASU, and made the point that we're on the field. We're ready to get in the game, but we have stiff competition from this world. We have unique resources now in this community with CPATH, Bio5 at the university, the newly in medical center here in Tucson with new leadership is going to be, and the commercial leadership with David Allen joining TechLaunch Arizona. We've got the team. We just need to get them onto the field, and honestly, that takes bucks. Other communities have a lot more money to put into this than we do, so we have to be smarter. We have to play smarter.
So if it was a baseball team, I guess we'd be in kind of the triple A and not quite into the major leagues.
But we've got the players. Okay. We have the team, and that means we can get there. And it's not like it's impossible anymore because we've invested for 10 years. As a state, we have Prop 301 money at Bio5. The Oro Valley Incubator in Oro Valley is a remarkable facility for new companies. So I think it's an exciting time. We're ready to go.
Dr. Ray Woosley, always a pleasure. He is the president of AZ Cert, and we want to tell you again that website to check it out, crediblemeds.org, a fantastic medical research for you. Dr. Woosley, thanks for being with us. Have a great holiday season.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Life on Earth begins with water. The plants that sustain us and biodiversity that surrounds us. At UA Biosphere 2, water is big science. From our tropical rainforest and million-gallon ocean to the mountain slopes of LEO, our new Landscape Evolution Observatory. By recreating the natural world on such an immense scale, LEO aims to reveal better ways to understand and manage global water resources. Come see how Biosphere 2 is being used to model climate science, test smart technology, and develop new environmental strategies that can help build a stronger 21st century community. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, where innovation lives, just north of Tucson, America's science city. Explore today. More information at b2science.org.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Current projects include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion brought to you by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to one of the top 100 arts communities in the country, historic Silver City. They have this weekend in downtown Silver City. Check out the New Mexico Tamale Fiesta. That's coming up at Silver City. A lot of great places to stay over in Silver, including Fayetteville Hot Springs Resort. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. We are joined in studio with attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown & Associates, whose offices are in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor and author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Mr. Luce, how are you?
Bill, I'm great. Thank you.
It's great to see you. Medical marijuana law is legal. A trial judge ruled that in Phoenix. Arizona's, the medical marijuana law, I mean, it seems like it was forever, doesn't it, that it was passed?
My God.
2010, this, 2 years
this
old.
This was passed more than 2 years ago. In fact, it was in November of 2010 when voters passed the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act. This was known as Prop 203. And your listeners will recall that it was just barely passed by less than 1%. But nonetheless, the voters said that they wanted the Arizona Department of Health Services to create a medical marijuana program within 120 days of that election result becoming official. We're now 2 years and 1 month later, and it looks like it's going to happen. But I'll tell you, this has been a really heavily litigated issue. You may recall that it started out with the governor challenging the law in federal court, and the federal court said that the law could take effect. And most recently, our attorney general and the Maricopa County attorney went into state court, and they used what is known as a preemption argument to try to get the state judge to basically kick the law out, and saying that it's controlled by federal law, and so anytime something is controlled by federal law, state officials don't have the right to preempt it with their own law. And the state court judge said, no, that's not true in this case, because the Arizona statute contains various safeguards. For instance, it requires a physician to review a patient's medical circumstances and so forth. But more importantly, perhaps, there's nothing in this law that says the federal authorities, in other words, the DEA, can't enforce the federal law. And marijuana is a Schedule I drug. This means that it's been deemed by the federal authorities to have no legitimate medical use. So even though the voters have adopted the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act, and even though the Department of Health Services is going to be licensing dispensaries, the federal department of the DEA, the drug people, they can still come in and make arrests. It's a really interesting dichotomy, but the law is a go. And before I came over, I checked the Arizona Department of Health Services website to see what the latest was, mm-hmm. because this is constantly changing. And on their homepage, just an hour or so ago, they reported that the first dispensary is set to open this week. They're going to be processing medical marijuana program applications now on a go-forward basis, presumably in real time, and more than 100 dispensaries are set to open very soon. So even though it's been more than 2 years since the voters approved the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act, I think we're finally there where the program is going to be implemented and all of the thousands of cardholders are going to have dispensaries at which they can purchase marijuana.
And Attorney General Tom Horn and the Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery are vowing again to appeal. Mr. Horn, though, has his own problems, doesn't he, Mr. Luce?
He does indeed. The State Bar of Arizona has confirmed that they are investigating two rule violations involving our Attorney General. Rick DeBrule is the bar spokesman, and what he said this week was that there were two key areas that they're looking into. One stems from an investigation of Horn by the FBI into allegations that he broke campaign finance laws in his 2010 election. And interestingly, as a result of that investigation, the FBI investigators observed Horn leave the scene of an accident.
Uh-huh.
So while they were investigating him for the first thing, they observed him do something that the state bar is taking a look into as well. Now, all lawyers, Tom Horn included, are governed by rules of professional conduct. These are rules that the State Bar of Arizona promulgates and that it has the obligation and authority to enforce. And if a lawyer is found to have violated one of these professional conduct rules, then that lawyer could receive anything from an informal reprimand to actual disbarment. And your listeners will probably remember well the story of Andrew Thomas, the Maricopa County mm-hmm. attorney, who just recently got disbarred by the State Bar of Arizona for some ethical infractions that they found violated the ethical rules about 6 months ago.
This could be very interesting. Could the State Bar disbar the Attorney General of Arizona, and then could he or would he be able to continue as the Attorney General?
If he becomes disbarred as an attorney, I believe that would automatically disqualify him from being the state's lead attorney.
Wow. Ken Bennett, the Secretary of State, said this week that Governor Brewer cannot run in 2014. She's been flirting with the idea, but I guess the state constitution, Don Luce, is pretty clear about this.
I'm not so sure about that, Bill.
Okay.
She says it's not that clear. Now, Ken Bennett, interestingly, has already formed an exploratory committee for governor for the 2014 election. So, you know, he may have another agenda, but regardless, he's relying on the constitutional provision that the voters amended in 1992 by what was then called Prop 107. And in 1992, the voters said that the governor is limited to two consecutive terms. The governor is part of the executive branch, as is, by the way, the Secretary of State, Ken Bennett. So if this applies to the governor, it would also apply to Ken Bennett as Secretary of State, because he became Secretary of State at the same time that Brewer became governor when Napolitano went to DHS. Anyway, the Constitution says no member of the executive department can serve more than two consecutive terms, and term is defined to include any part of a term served. So he's saying, Bennett's saying, Brewer served a year after Napolitano left, and then she got elected in 2010 for her second term, and so she would be termed out in 2014. It'll be interesting to see what happens. He made this announcement, interestingly, when he was announcing the election results, and he was serving as acting governor for the ceremony because Governor Brewer was out on official business.
All right, Don Luce, thank you very much. Don Luce is the author of Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers. He also has a book about estate planning in Arizona, and the Arizona Laws book is a revised edition.
Yes, I updated Arizona Laws 101 this year. The second edition was published about 4 months ago, and I'm pleased to report that it's completely updated. It went from roughly 68,000 words to 75,000, but nonetheless, it has all of the current laws in it, And anybody who's interested might be well served by referring to it.
Probably have to double the number of words that you'll be putting together in a year or so, knowing Arizona. Don Luce, thanks a lot. Have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water, the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. We love Culligan water. Why not? It simply tastes better. John C. Scott, the dean of Local Talk. John, his show has expanded now from 1 hour to 2 hours. John will be on this afternoon, 3 to 5. Then tomorrow, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. And, of course, Friday on the Buckmaster Show means our Friday Focus interview, and that will be with the RTA's Jim DeGroote. And then, of course, and we will have our Reporters Roundtable and Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon. We'll be with you tomorrow.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.